Welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast brought to you by Twisted Tea and my bookie. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What's up, yo, Tennessee Homer?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Anybody that missed it, I was just on Fine Bomb, so I get that extra juice anytime I go on there talking these SEC games. And, man, I know last week was separate. I told people, too. I was like, I'll come up with a better name. We already did Separation Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it Championship Saturday because there's still a lot of football to be played. But
maybe what about,
this is Pretender Contender Saturday or something like that.
What about Spacing Saturday? Like you're – no, I'm just kidding. no, but it is. That's what's cool about this Saturday, in my opinion, is you kind of – you're going to have a lot of similar teams playing each other. And, you know, I don't want I try not to use the word separation, but, you know, we're going to see, I guess, the future, man. It's almost like you're going to be able to see the you know, we've been painting a picture for 5 weeks of what we think the SEC championship could look like, mm-hmm. what we think the college football playoffs are going to look like. I think after this Saturday, though, we're going to have a pretty good idea on the direction of this conference. So, maybe just clarity, you know? I think that's what we're going to start having a little bit of.
How interesting. Someone posed this to me, Shane. And this is not totally unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
The final East-West SEC championship,
mm-hmm.
if it came down to two former Big 12 teams, Texas A&M and Missouri. I mean, come on. I mean, that's not
right before Texas and Oklahoma show up. Yeah. No, I think that would be pretty cool. I think that's where I'm at now is we're again, and I keep beating this drum, Mike, but it's just every Saturday truly matters now. You know, for a long time, it was like, well, hopefully we catch them off guard or, you know, and we're trying to predict upsets and whatnot. It's like going into Saturday, going into that Ole Miss LSU game. It was like we thought we knew what was going to happen, but we really didn't. Tennessee, South Carolina, same thing. You know, Texas A&M. You know, there's a lot of people that were in one camp and some were in the Arkansas camp. And you can, if you sat with them long enough, you could convince me they were going to win. And that's what I love about it because. If we replayed Saturday's games, we'd have totally different outcomes, especially if it was on a neutral field.
Yep. Except for that Tennessee one.
Yeah, that was I'll drink to that one, Mike.
hey, I did want to make note of this, Shane, because this is something that I know caught your attention, caught a lot of people's attention, but you need some help over there, buddy?
You got a lot of wires going on. Just trying not to put one on there. There we go. Childproof this thing.
I know something that caught both of our attentions, Shane, old Hugh Freeze, mm-hmm. was mentioning, you know, they're not going to be playing Georgia anymore.
Yeah.
Well, turns out he didn't know what the hell he's talking about. And I didn't think he did because he didn't know Kirby Smart made the national championship game in his second year either. So I don't know how plugged in old Hugh is. But
I don't know how many secrets they're going to give Kirby or Hugh Freeze either, you know? Like, that's the guy that released it, you know what I'm saying? I was like, I don't know if he even knows, so.
So all that, Shane, to say this. Yes, they don't have the 2025 schedules out or anything.
Yeah.
But I have heard that they have the 2024 schedules already out.
Mm-hmm.
And they've informed the schools. They know the schedules.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to leak pretty soon. And the way it's been told to me, Shane, they are going to feature Texas and Oklahoma right off the bat.
Yeah.
So that tells me, I believe it's Alabama at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know this for a fact, so don't 100% quote me on it, but that was the first part I said. They're going to feature them heavily.
Right.
That was relayed to me. So what that tells me, Shane, Bama at Oklahoma, week one.
Yeah.
And probably, again, I could have this confused, but whoever Texas's biggest game, it's probably Georgia.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be week one, too.
Same week.
Of 2024, because they want to highlight it right out the gate.
Yeah, but
this
why
is
wouldn't
the
you?
SEC. because there's no NFL. Yeah. All our eyes are on college football week one.
Yeah.
These big ass matchups right out the gate. I mean, I don't want to fast forward too much, but that was some scheduling news I caught wind of.
Kind of a double header. Fantastic. You know, just 3:30. We have, you know, Alabama and who'd you say it was? Alabama and Texas?
I'm looking that up right now, yeah. But I'm pretty sure it's Alabama at Oklahoma.
Oh, Alabama, Oklahoma. Okay. And then Georgia, Texas. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, back to back. It wouldn't be a bad idea because, like you said, we could kick off SEC play, you know, kind of, man, just could you imagine the buildup for that game?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Both of them.
Georgia at Texas. I mean, God. That might just be a repeat of the national championship game or something. You know, and it's a conference game.
Who'd win that game right now?
Oh, wait. Wait, as I'm looking here, that's probably just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, apologies, Georgia opens against Clemson.
No. Oh, yeah.
So unless they do it, maybe it's a week zero game. I don't know. But that's how it was relayed to me, that it will be, they'll be showcased and showcased heavily right out the gate. And again, I don't know that it's Alabama.
But oh, well, you don't even know it's Georgia. I mean, given the fact that Clemson's in the loop, it may be a different.
It may be, I'm looking at Texas schedule for 2024. I mean, it's A&M. Could be A&M.
Could be an A&M.
That's week one. I could see. Could be Florida. You know, Florida.
Yeah.
Texas. I mean, these are key matchup games here. But
what else do they have on their list there?
For Texas?
Yeah.
Oklahoma, obviously.
Yeah.
Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi State, A&M and Vanderbilt, and maybe then Oklahoma's
I don't know,
Bama, LSU, Auburn, Missouri, South Carolina, Tennessee, Ole Miss. Oh
my. Yeah.
Woo, these are going to be some good games. You know what?
Well, right out of the gate, we're going to have one or two of them here. So I see the concept, though. I see the idea. You know, but with Georgia having Clemson, I don't think they want to sandwich, you know, Oklahoma in there or Texas in there, whoever they're playing. It seems to me like you may go week, you know, let's get them week one and let's show the other team week two. But either way, I mean, you can't dodge them. You're going to have to play them at some point, you know. I just don't know if I want Texas A&M to be that early. I think that's going to be the matchup we're looking for is Texas and A&M, but I don't know. I don't know if I want that to start the season. I'd like to have it more toward the end of it.
Right. No, that makes sense, but I just thought I'd share that little nugget, Shane. Speaking of, you know, Hugh Freeze came out with some fake news. This is some real news here.
He's dialed in.
Yep. But speaking of being dialed in, Shane, the only game of undefeateds in the SEC this week, Kentucky at Georgia, monumental showdown. I don't want to say the East is on the line because I still think them dogs, Shane, they hate everything I have to say this season. But I think Georgia can lose this game and still win the East. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
Now, can Kentucky lose this game and still win the East? Probably not.
Right.
So for Kentucky, this may be as hyped up a game as they're going to get all year. And I'm not sitting here writing them off if they lose.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, they could. Who knows? I mean, if Kentucky, this will sound outlandish, Shane, but if they lose to Georgia by 7 points in Athens,
right,
and they run the table, same scenario as Tennessee last year, except Tennessee didn't finish the deal. Kentucky go to the college football playoff, depending on, you know, if Georgia is in there as well. So huge, huge matchup, Shane. Is this the year you think? Well, don't make your pick out right, but could this be the year that Mark Stoops, there's the only one team he's not beaten out of the East.
Yeah.
It's them Georgia Bulldogs. Can they get it done? Because Georgia, quite frankly, looks beatable.
Well, I this isn't the first time coming into this game that we thought, hey, man, this could decide the East, you know. But this is the first time I felt more confident that Kentucky could potentially pull off an upset, you know. And that's more to say about how good Kentucky's playing and how bad Georgia is at times. Now, obviously, Georgia's undefeated. And they find ways to win. They're scrappy. They're dominating the second half of football games, which is awesome. But, you know, unlike years prior where they're just destroying teams in the second half, you know, they're fighting for their lives. So part of you is like, yeah, this could be the season. But then another part of you is like, yeah, but how many times will we say that? You know, so it's like I go back and forth. Like either this is going to be a close win for Kentucky or a big blowout for Georgia. That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Kentucky, the way they beat Florida.
Yeah.
Ground and pound, no passing game. Of course, they didn't need one.
Right.
Which is a fair thing. But dominant defense, shutting Florida down on the ground. Can that formula work, do you think, against Georgia in Athens? Because we just saw Georgia gave up a ton of rushing yards to Auburn. Of course, that was an away game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, similar. I mean, that when the game got cooking, I mean, they kind of cooked Peyton to – I don't know. I think Devin Leary's got to have the game of his life here.
Mike, they are going to do exactly what Kentucky's going to do and sell out for the run.
Right.
They, you know, this is something I thought was going to happen with Florida, Kentucky last week. It didn't. So I think that Georgia is going to have a better opportunity to kind of bottle up that run game. So I think the recipe's simple here, man. If Kentucky's going to win this game, they got to score four times.
Mm-hmm.
I think 28 points is like the number they need to hit. And to get to 28, two are going to be through the air. So we're going to have something, some sort of – we can't just go Ray Davis the entire time because it's not going to work because Georgia will win if that's the case. But if they can get to that 28 points, who knows, man? Kentucky may walk away with a victory here.
And a week ago, Shane, we were saying, all right, if Kentucky beats Florida
mm-hmm. –
maybe that states the case. We're not saying it for sure because there's still Mizzou, there's still Tennessee. But we were saying if they beat Florida, they have an outstanding case to be the second best team in the East. Brother, I'm not ready to say they may be the best team in the East. And if they beat Georgia in Athens, there's no doubt. It's not a lock that they'll win the East. But what more could they do to prove they are the best in the East?
My thing, brother, is – I think you could flip the coin on this and say this is going to be the best defense that Georgia has faced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at some of their tough games, you know, Auburn, I think, was the closest one. And look, they made it difficult. It came down to just Brock Bowers taking it over.
Yeah.
You know, but if that didn't happen or if Bowers was eliminated from that action, then who knows? Auburn would have walked away a victor. So I think that's where the real test is going to be for Georgia. It's not so much slowing Kentucky down, is getting points on the board themselves.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm glad you mentioned Brock Bowers. If you're Kentucky,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know that there is an answer for Brock Bowers. He's so good. But you can certainly do things to double him, to make sure that there's bodies all around him.
Right.
Do you force other players to beat you, like mm-hmm. a Dominic Lovett, Ladd McConkey, you know, do you do that, or do you, I don't know, what's the best plan of attack against Brock Bowers, you think?
I think that's an easy answer, but it's a tough answer at the end of the day, because even Auburn attempted to do that, and they failed miserably. But the good news is, there's plenty of tape on it. You know, there's plenty of, like, if Auburn would have done this, they may have been able to stop that, you know, kind of scenario. The real X factor for me is McConkey. I think, you know, obviously coming off injury wasn't a huge part of this offense last week. I expect that to take a step forward. So eliminating Bowers, if you can, which is impossible, but if you can slow him down enough, that's the guy I've got my eyes – nothing against – I truly think that you mentioned what's his name? The kid that went from Mizzou.
Dominic Lovett.
I think Lovett is a fantastic athlete. I think he's a tremendous wide receiver that for some reason is not blossoming down there in Athens. But that's maybe another guy that gets, but you look at his stats line. He's like getting three receptions, five. Right. Like I think the biggest one that he ever had was five receptions. Well, that's not going to help you. That may alleviate some pressure and move a chain here and there. But I think it's McConkey. I think it's Bowers. That's your recipe. And getting back to the running game, Georgia, you saw little flashes of it. You know, that's what the last 10 years you were. And it's kind of crazy how it's drifted off. I know we've got some injuries and stuff, but does Georgia get back to that rushing attack?
Final thing I got on this one, Shane. What would be a bigger surprise to you? Georgia losing or Kentucky winning? And before you answer, keep in mind that according to the scoring efficiency metrics, which I think that's the best way to evaluate these teams, the efficiency, that's how much you're scoring for every play and how few scores you're allowing based on the plays you're facing. Kentucky's the best team in the SEC. They're top 10 in scoring offense. They're top 20 in scoring defense. And Georgia's in the 30s for each. So take that for what it's worth. But what would surprise you more, and just a one-point win either way, Georgia losing or Kentucky winning? And this ain't back-to-back champion Georgia. This is 2023 Georgia.
I don't know if there is a right answer to that one because I mean, it's Kentucky beating Georgia. I mean, how many times has that headline been on a newspaper?
We've never seen it, I don't think.
I don't think so either. Georgia messing up and having a loss, I think it's bigger for Kentucky. This is something that they would talk about forever. No one's going to – if Georgia loses and goes on to still compete for a national championship, because I still think a one-loss team to a top 20 team is not going to keep them out of that argument. But I think it's bigger for Kentucky at the end of the day. I think this is something you tell your grandkids about.
Yeah.
You were there at that game when this happened. So,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Can you storm a field if it's not yours? Are they going to have that security guard over there dodging and weaving and knocking down people?
Oh, stay safe out there, Ollie, if you make it.
Coach, just how multiple are they in the run game, and how do you go about preparing your guys for a variety of looks that they're going to get just in terms of a difference in runs?
Well, I mean, you go against our offense, who runs some of the same runs they do. It's very pro-style based in terms of what they do run game-wise. They do a tremendous job of, they put window dressing around all their runs. They have really good people blocking it. They have very experienced tight ends on the edges. I mean, they got kids that are have been there for 2 and 3 years blocking on the perimeter. They got a great back. I mean, so they got a great run system that has all the ingredients to be excellent. When you have a physical offensive line, a head coach and an offensive coordinator committed to running it, a great back, several great backs, and then they have weapons outside. So they are a very talented group, and got a lot of guys who've played a lot of football in the SEC in that group. I think every SEC team should be ranked. I guarantee you there's some teams that don't want to play them that are ranked. I mean, I literally have no idea what you're referencing, because every team we play in the SEC is good enough to beat us. And whether they're ranked or not, I could care less. I'm trying to be more physical than them and outscore them. And it's the only thing I'm concerned with, not their ranking.
Mark, obviously, Georgia's kind of separated themselves from a lot of teams the last couple of years in this build. What do you attribute their success to? And is there any part of Kirby Smart's program that you kind of try to bring into your own?
Well, I think, you know, I said it 3 times already. I mean, you'd have to be a moron not to appreciate what they do. You know, that they're pretty impressive, I think, and it's all levels. They recruit at a very high level. They obviously work extremely hard at recruiting. They can recruit. They have a good base, but they work hard at it, and they do a good job of recruiting and evaluating talent. They develop their talent, and they coach them, you know, really well. So you put those things together, and it's a pretty good combination. So
obviously the third time going against them, but has he keep getting better? I mean, what do you
see? Wow. Absolute freak. Absolute freak, and I mean that in the most complimentary way. What a incredible player, you know. He's selfless. You could tell, he's a complete player. He plays well without the football. He plays well with the football. He's a team guy. You could tell that's a great guy to work around right there. He steps up when they need him to. But very unique player. I had the opportunity to be at Arizona when Gronk was there. And I know people, you know, they're just different players, both unbelievably great and talented, just different. You know, this guy's something I haven't seen.
How about Alabama at A&M, Shane? Battle for the West here. The two teams undefeated in the West, not overall, but in conference play. Bama at A&M. And this is something that I've seen a lot of people, Shane. Chris Felica, the Bear, Game Day, now Fox. He's saying this is the biggest game of the Nick Saban era because the two losses, first week of October, they'll be out for the playoff. I don't agree with that it's the biggest game because he's had so many. But I do think you can make the argument, and I think you have to make the argument that it's the biggest game of the Jimbo Fisher era at A&M, because this is an opportunity to kind of slay the demon that is Bama in the West.
Right.
This is your final opportunity to win the West. They've literally never won the West.
Yeah.
They're getting them at home. They're playing hot. Alabama, we get it. They're great, all this, but they're limited. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, that was awful when Lane Kiffin lost. They were not jumping on Lane because this is classic Alabama.
Right.
They were jumping on him because this looks like a beatable Bama. So there's a lot of pressure on A&M to get this one. Is this the biggest game, you think, of the Jimbo Fisher era at A&M?
I don't know about the biggest, but it's up there. And I saw this comment when you were on Twitter. You know, somebody says, well, you say that every week about Jimbo. Well, that's because his ass is backed up against the wall right now.
Yeah.
His excuses, his, you know, the rebuild, the mistakes, all that is – there's no wiggle room. Like, you can't come out here and say, well, we'll do better next week. Aggie fans are tired of waiting for next week. They want it now, and they should get it now. And the problem they're running into with this little buzzsaw is that Alabama, Mike's quotes, decaying dynasty, you know, is beatable, very beatable. They were beatable last year. LSU did it. Tennessee did it. Texas A&M didn't. They went toe-to-toe, got down to the wire. So these fans are like, hey, if we have this at home and that team is worse, why can't – and we're better – why can't we get it this year? So, yes, I think it's a big one because of not just the momentum that's behind that program right now, but the expectations are significantly higher. You ask anybody down there, they say, this is the year that we should beat them. So, and he's done it before. Jimbo's done it before. But this is a big game for him and his future at that program because this is why they brought him in to begin with. And if he can't win this game, what, year four, year five, what is he now down there? So
six?
Is he really? Golly. It's like Hugh Freeze now. Like, you can't rebuild you anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, your first recruiting class has kids now, you know? So it's like you're recruiting them. So this is a pivotal matchup for both. And I think it's big for Saban as well.
Yeah. And again, I'm just looking at some of the matchups, Shane. I mean, I don't know where they have a massive advantage. I mean, they have a good secondary. A&M secondary is a little suspect. But A&M, 30 tackles for loss, 14 sacks the last 2 weeks. That's a good season for some teams. Going up against an Alabama offensive line that struggled, going up against a quarterback that once he starts feeling the pressure, he gets the hell out of there, doesn't read the defense. This seems to me like a nightmare matchup, and I was kind of kidding, but not really, when I went on Fine Mob today and said the first team to 10 wins, because I think these defenses are both legit.
Well, I think we got, you know, I keep going back to that Auburn game, and you know, you talk about mobile quarterbacks, they were able to keep Robbie in check. I mean, that's not easy. You know, I would venture to say that Robbie's probably more athletic or as athletic as the one they're facing this week and able to kind of bottle him up. So I have no doubt the score is going to be low. The only thing I'm worried about going back to that Auburn game was, you know, you needed a spark from a backup quarterback to put points on the board. Well, this Alabama defense is better than Auburn.
Yeah.
So what's the spark going to be this week? Is it going to be Evan or Anais? Is it going to be one of these premier playmakers on the outside, or is it the running game, or is it, you know, they're going to need somebody to step up this week and carry them, like you said, over that 10-point mark? Because I'm with you. I feel like this is going to be a low-scoring game, not a keep-away game, but it's just going to be a lot of punts, I would imagine, you know? I don't think there'd be. Let me ask you, over, under, are we going to have more punts or Brad Johnson photos? Which one do you think?
Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
Photo ops.
They got to get off of that, right?
Because he's got two boys on
now
this
team. Now
they
got like a whole – they had a whole week to kind of work it up, but 2 weeks now, you know. They're wanting to see – they're like – it's like a poor man – what's the Taylor Swift, you know? Yeah. That's what this is. See who he brings – what celebrity he brings with him this week and how short his sleeves get, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Will you – because you've not – I've been alone here with this decaying dynasty stuff.
Yeah.
Will you be jumping on board if – not only if they lose. I mean, if they lose by like 1-2 points, whatever. But I've already said it, Hill. I don't want to give away my pick, but I already did it. I'm saying 2-touchdown win for A&M. If it's a 2-touchdown or more, I almost said 20. And I was like, they ain't going to have me back if I keep saying all this stuff. 2-touchdown win. Will you be jumping on the bandwagon that that Alabama's?
I mean, you're that confident. Maybe I should lock this one down. You know? I feel like I need to get back on the win column here. I mean, why not? You're not even played LSU yet.
Right.
You know, you're not even played Tennessee. You're not even played
Kentucky.
So there's still we just beat Ole Miss. You did that one. But there's still some
Arkansas,
tough games.
At Auburn.
There's tricky games out there too that you know. So I could get maybe not Decaying Dynasty. I think that's a little too much. But what I can say is some tough questions are going to start being asked down there. Like, what is the future of this program? And that's crazy that you're saying that about Nick Saban. But you know, there's an end to this story, and we don't know when it is. We've kind of talked about it for years that it's right around the corner, but it's the truth. There's going to come a moment when we've got to move to the next coach, and that question gets brought up more and more if we start having no progression, you know, no development of coaching staff or players. So, this is a big one for Nick too.
Yeah, no, I was talking to someone, Shane, the other day, and it didn't really click for me, but until he mentioned this, but this is the same offense. I mean, it's a different offense, but it's the same approach, it seems like, the last 2 years. Was Bryce Young will bail us out.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go hero ball, and it kind of feels like that's all they are now is Jalen Milroe hero ball, and he's not Bryce Young.
Right.
And that's not a slight, because Bryce Young was the number one overall pick. Maybe Jalen Milroe by the end, he's only a redshirt sophomore, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, he may be great in a year or two, but he's not that right now, he can't bail him out.
Yeah, it feels like last year LSU too, Jaden Daniels, you know, it's like if he's dialed in and having a game, they're going to win. But if he has an off game, they're going to lose. So I think that's exactly where we are with Alabama. Jalen can only do so much, but it's when you take what he's really good at away, which Ole Miss has tried, you know. Ole Miss tried. They weren't fast enough. The thing with the Aggies, though, they are fast enough. This defense is good enough to contain him. And so that's why I'm scared for Bama, is given the fact that if you remove that part of his game, we haven't seen it yet. We have no idea what this game's going to turn. I mean, Texas was the closest one, but even them had, you know, tough time containing him at times.
Right.
Jimbo, you talked a little bit about Jalen Milroe, but he's different running quarterback than what you saw with KJ and then Peyton. Can you talk a little bit about Peyton Thorne, difference?
Well, I mean, he's as fast as anybody on their team. I mean, when this guy hits grass, I mean, a lot of those quarterbacks you can run down or there'll be big chunks of yards. You know what I'm saying? This guy puts balls in the end zone. I mean, he's like your tailback or your best receiver hitting grass and running away from you. And he's strong and he's twitchy and, you know, and he doesn't mind doing it. He doesn't mind tucking it and going. But he also has a very strong arm. He does a great job on downfield throws. They're averaging, like I say, a lot of their passing game, and they're hitting a lot of big chunks in their passing game. So it makes it hard because it pushes your defender so deep, creates that separation and the levels of play. When you get a guy that athletic and he gets space, he can make you miss. So tackling, leverage, all those things, rushing in lanes and being disciplined in our lanes is going to be very critical.
You mentioned even though they don't have a lot of catches necessarily, that the yards per catch and how much of a Is that a concern for your secondary, and are you concerned about the players?
Oh, no doubt, because they're so physical in the run game. You got to commit guys to the run. You got to tackle well. You got to plug in. And the play action game and what Milrow does on Naked's boots or the hard play action game, getting that the separation between second level and third level and those big holes. And then Bond and Burton, those guys, when they catch the ball, man, they run away from you. Even not the tight ends run away from you. You know what I'm saying? They have great speed. So you're hitting those chunk plays, and then they're turning into explosive big plays on down the field. And that's a very hard thing.
All right, how about this one, Shane? The battle of them Tigers, LSU at Mizzou. I hate to – I mean, this game should be higher on the list, but one team forgot to do their part, Shane, and now it's them LSU Tigers. Of course, they're favorite, a touchdown favorite, which is pretty shocking to me, but they now are the team with their backs against the wall.
Yeah.
And we have seen that, Shane. There's been five, six teams in the SEC that have essentially had their back against the wall, and most of them have answered the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make LSU dangerous going to this match? Almost like, this might be kind of crazy to say, but would Mizzou rather LSU's undefeated than have to win to keep their season alive? I know you're biased.
I am. And I'm this Tiger's wounded, man. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to take one shot, two shots.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're looking for a place to lay down. You know? And I think that's where we're at. You're at a noon game. I think this is perfect. Even though Mizzou's undefeated, nobody's still talking about them. You know? I mean, outside
they
of us.
They played nobody, blah, blah, blah.
That's all they're saying, and I think that's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I think Cook and that wide receiving staff, Burton and Weiss, they're going to have a field day with the secondary unless they change something this week, which I'm not expecting. So it could be a potential shootout, but the thing about it is, this may be LSU's toughest defense they've faced. So how do they react? So I think it's awesome. I think it's great. I think it's perfect for Mizzou fans. I hate that it's at noon. And I'm not saying LSU can't bounce back at all, but this is a team that had expectations to compete and go to the SEC championship again. And all that went right out the window last week. I'm not saying they're completely out. They still got some winnable games, but it's games like these that they're not. It's going to be tougher to get up for.
Right. Yeah, we might as well start calling them the Noon Tigers, Shane, because I don't know why, but they're relegated to – well, and then
it's kind of like LSU-Arkansas last year. You remember that one?
Yep.
How nasty and ugly that one was. You know, they've had a couple injuries too. So, yeah, this is an intriguing matchup.
And will the country start – finally coming around to Missouri if they beat LSU at home? Or because I think what's going to happen, Shane, if they do win, they'll be like, LSU overrated as hell. They suck. You know, they'll just start. They ain't played nobody. They'll keep it going for another week. That's how I think it's going to play out. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I believe so. The storyline, no matter how you paint it, is still going to be about LSU.
Yeah.
And even though it's not. It shouldn't be that way. It should be about Mizzou, especially if they win. But that's what they're going to start kicking up is the King Dynasty 2, you know?
And I mean, this matchup of elite quarterback, Shane, Jaden Daniels, Brady Cook, like you said, I mean, this could be the opposite of Bama, Texas A&M. First to 10, this one could be first to 60 or something crazy like that, you know?
Thinking about that. If I removed it, I said, hey, the Tigers face week five, whatever it is. One of them's going to have two losses. Which one do you think it is? You know?
Yeah.
Everyone would have said Mizzou.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is exactly where they want. They don't want that. I mean, I follow a lot of Mizzou fans now. I picked up a lot. Trust me. And in fact, I had a Georgia guy tweet me earlier, and he says that he's starting to get a lot of. He called it Mizzou propaganda. He liked one of my tweets, and all of a sudden, he starts seeing this Mizzou stuff. So, you know, it's out there. It's building. You're starting to see again. Media start getting behind these guys, but you need a signature win, and not that Kansas State wasn't it. I think it was. Me and you think it was. But this one, this would be icing on the cake. This would show you officially that they are a true threat in the East.
Yeah, and I referenced those scoring efficiency numbers. LSU right now, the worst scoring defense in the Power Five. They're like 118 or 118, something crazy like that. I don't know if you saw this, Shane, but they brought in Pete Jenkins is his name, longtime defensive line coach, was there under Coach O, worked with Nick Saban at, I think at LSU, maybe Bama. But I mean, this is like, I'm trying to think of, you know, Jim Chaney is not the right word, but basically kind of like a Jim Chaney type, but the defensive line coach.
Chief.
Yeah.
John Chavis.
Perfect. Yeah. Chief. Does that give you confidence that they're making moves to fix the defense? Or because to me, it's kind of like, God, we're in the middle of the year. We're
Hail Marys pulling straws here. Yeah. No, that's what I'm seeing. I don't like that. I like going into a game, maybe fixing something schematically, you know, maybe personnel, something like that, but changing coaching staff.
Yeah.
That's smoke. When there's smoke, there's fire, you know, and that's right. Kind of what I'm feeling there.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad for Brian Kelly if he loses this one, that the questions he's going to be facing. Gosh. He was getting angry at the press conference this week. Yeah, I can't imagine another loss.
You know, it's funny. It's like when Brian's okay when he's winning, but when he's not, it's like Lane them stupid jokes. You know, it's like you're winning, that's okay. But if you're not, nobody wants to hear it.
Yeah, well, Brian, right here. Can you confirm if you've hired Pete Jenkins as an analyst? And if you have, what do you kind of expect that he can bring to y'all that maybe right now you don't have?
Yeah, so as you know, Jimmy Lindsay has not been with us as our defensive line coach. And, you know, one of the things that we want to be able to do is in hiring Pete, and his role has not been defined yet, other than he will be consulting and assisting our defensive line room. And, you know, John Jancic has the defensive line. His expertise is not necessarily in that area. He's a good football coach, but we want to provide our student athletes with the most resources, and Pete gives us the expertise and the ability to help us with technique and some technical things that we want to be able to do on a day-to-day basis. So he's going to come in, he'll be here and assist us and help Coach Jancic in that room.
You know, I'm not saying you have to have co-defensive coordinators, but has anything changed?
No, the decision-making process is nothing that is a concern of mine. You know, this is really about the teaching and the execution. And so that requires two parties, the coaches coaching and the players executing. And so, you know, that's not about leadership. That's not about the message not resonating. I feel great about all those things and the leadership that we're getting from my defensive coordinator. Input, we're always welcoming input. So, matter of fact, we had a meeting today with the entire defense. I was with them, and we got great input. I'll always ask for input. There's never a silence when it comes to weighing in, because you can't fully buy in unless you're allowed to weigh in. So we take information. We want to listen to everybody that has experience. But there is one voice. There is one leader of our defense. I have the utmost confidence in his ability to run our defense, and he will run it effectively. We need to continue to coach and teach and develop our players, and we will do that.
I mean, it just means – the next SEC game, I mean, to be honest, it's really not any more significant than that one way or the other. It's a great opportunity because you're going to get to play in front of a sold-out stadium, and, you know, it's an opportunity for our program to showcase itself and our fans to showcase itself. We got a ton of recruits coming. There's a lot of good buzz. But the reality for this team is it's really just the next game in a string of 12 opportunities. And we need to maximize our opportunity. We need to be better than we were last week. But it's not going to define our season one way or the other. There's still a lot of challenges out there, irregardless of how this game plays out. So to make it more than that, I think, is not wise. Yeah, I think he's just the sixth player in FBS history to pass for 10,000 yards and rush for 4,000 yards in his career. So that's rare air, you know, to be able to do both. And I mean, he's a difficult challenge because he's an elite player. You know, he's right there, you know, from a statistic standpoint in all of the Heisman conversations, there should be. So, you know, our defense is going to have to accept the challenge. We've got to play good solid defense. I don't think you can put all your focus on him just because they are so dynamic at wide receiver and have really good running backs and an offensive line. So, you know, we're going to have to do a good job of playing assignment sound and doing our job and not trying to do too much.
Taking a break from the show to let you guys know we're brought to you by MyBookie. Head on over to MyBookie.ag today. Sign up with a sign up for an account over at MyBookie with a promo code that SECTHATSEC, and they are willing to match your initial deposit up to 50%, all the way up to $1,000. So you could have up to $1,500 in your account today with mybookie.ag. The only thing that makes college football better is betting on college football. Fade Cousin Shane's picks, go with my locks of the week. That's about as I'm 4 for 5 this year. So that I put that on my bookie. They're willing me to victory week in, week out here on that SEC podcast. Proud to be sponsored by my bookie. Quick and easy withdrawals when you cash out big and you win big by listening to me and fading Cousin Shane over at my bookie. Again, that promo code, that SEC. This is the number one way for y'all to help the podcast this football season. We don't ask for much. We give you all this content for free. The least you could do, throw $50, $100 on a MyBookie account, make some money fading our picks over at mybookie.ag today. Don't forget that promo code, that SEC. Same deal with our friends over at Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, and they got the college football. That's why we love Prize Picks. Head on over to Prize Picks. If you sign up with a new account with a promo code SEC, they're willing to match your initial deposit up to $100, 100% deposit. So you could have $200 in your account today over at prizepicks.com. Don't forget that promo code SEC. Same promo code for our new friends, Rogue Shop CBD, THC, Delta 9, Delta Ace. They got all the deltas over at the Rogue Shop. Promo code, same as Prize Picks, SEC. Get you 25% off your entire order. All orders over $100 over at RogueShop.com. Free shipping if you spend over $100. Cannot recommend Rogue Shop anymore. They're just like us. Independent, small business. You call over there, you're going to get my buddy Richard. He owns the business. He's the one handles all the calls over at RogueShop.com. If you got chronic pain, sleep issues, anxiety, what have you, do yourself a favor. Head on over to the Rogue Shop, RogueShop.com. Check out all their information there. It's all there. It's a legitimate business. This is high-quality CBD, THC, mailed in a discreet package from a veteran of the armed forces. So we cannot recommend Rogue Shop enough. And again, that promo code SEC gets you 25%. Are you ready to elevate your college football game day experience? Check out Twisted Tea, your go-to game beverage for college football fans. Twisted Tea is unlike any hard beverage you've had before. It's made with real brewed tea and packs a flavorful punch, 5% alcohol, and no carbonation, delivering the perfect balance of taste and refreshment that goes down smooth for every game day occasion. No need to settle for the usual. Twisted Tea turns up any occasion, especially when you're cheering on your favorite SEC team. Twisted Tea, the drink that fuels fun and celebrates your love of college football. Keep it twisted. The podcast is also brought to you by Game Time. Head on over to GameTime.co and use promo code THATSEC for $20 off your first purchase. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. Game Time is the place for the last-minute ticket sales. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Head on over to GameTime.co. Snag tickets without the stress. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THATSEC for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem THATSEC for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Arkansas at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, a big favorite. This is always a wild game, back and forth type game. Arkansas's hurting. Ole Miss feeling great after that arguably the biggest win of the Lane Kiffin era. Is there any confidence in you that Arkansas can get up off the mat and make this a competitive ball game?
Yeah, because they got the roster for it. And you know, everybody's piling on Sam right now. One of our buddies, Hot Rod, he sent us that clip, you know, him getting after him boys this week.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take internal. You know, when you're down and out, it's not just the coaching staff. You've got to have some of these players fire back up and say, hey, we still got a lot to play for. And they do, man. The fact that Ole Miss came off that signature win last week, man, you talk about a pivotal matchup for them. Arkansas getting back on the map, beat Ole Miss. And sometimes you worry about programs like Ole Miss coming off that high, thinking, hey, we're just going to steamroll the Razorbacks. This game's always close, you know. It's always a matchup. So I'm not saying there's any pressure on Lane anymore, but there is on Sam and this coaching staff and this team in general. So, and the fans need it, man. I've been saying it, you know, for a while now. They need a big win, and they can get one Saturday.
Yeah, and it's the only concern. Well, I mean, there's many concerns, but one big one, Shane. I think if they do win, it'll be a close game.
Yeah,
and they have been struggling for 2 years now in these close games. So, you know, goal line, short yardage, they've got to convert. They're not converting. That's the that's been the difference.
Yeah.
In these losses, but on the flip side, Shane, this ain't A&M defense.
No.
This is Ole Miss, and LSU just went up and down the field on them like it was nothing. So, I mean, I think this is a good game for Arkansas to get that mojo back, rock it. Not that, I mean, he flashed a little bit, but A&M just corralled him. Ole Miss does not have the athletes to do that. So, week two of getting Rocket back, I think we can get some mojo going. But I could flip it the other way too, Shane. Ole Miss, some of their key players, Trey Harris, Priest Corn, the tight end, Zachary Franklin, the other receiver, they've been either limited or just completely out of the lineup. They got them back last week, and they look like world beaters. Right. So maybe this, and of course they got Judkins going. That was the key to the whole thing.
Yeah.
If they have that all going against Arkansas, they may blow them out. I mean, I could see that, but
it's similar to that Kentucky-Georgia game where I'm saying, like, either Arkansas barely wins or Ole Miss just beats the shit out of them. Yeah. I could see you could convince me either way, but I do like the fact that this defense isn't as daunting as some of the programs they faced.
Right,
it could be another shootout like LSU, and that was, I mean, say what you want, it's still a fun game to watch. You know what I'm saying? Both LSU. I mean, LSU Ole Miss was fun. Arkansas LSU was fun. I think we're going to see something very similar to this, a very high-scoring game. And it's going to take – Arkansas is going to need some breaks. They're going to need some mistakes thrown their way, whether it's interception or a fumble or some sort of turnover. They're going to need a couple of breaks to go their way. But, again, it's a team that – still has an opportunity to beat them. So I don't think you can just pencil off an easy victory for Ole Miss here.
Wouldn't it be the most Lane Kiffin thing ever to get that big win and then drop one after?
Absolutely. Let's hear that presser, you know.
All right, final SEC game, Shane. Vanderbilt at Florida.
Yeah.
And I put it out there. I mean, it is what it is, Shane. But this is must-win territory for Billy Napier.
Yep.
I think his ass gets fired if they find a way to lose this game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they did last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But now it's in the swamp, and there's no reason to – there's no
Vanderbilt starting quarterback's injured.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they should blow the doors off him.
But Coach Lee, you know, he's got some of that bulletin board material. Hey, we got these guys last year. If we just – if we do our game, we can come away and win. And that's what you want, I think, is coming off a devastating loss like that. Florida's going to be naturally – in a lull, you know. I mean, you just know it. They're going to be dragging. They're going to need something, and I'm sure Billy's going to have some stuff, you know, kind of maybe in the first few drives dialed up to kind of spark this team. We saw it with Eli a few weeks ago with an onside kick. They need something. And then once they build that momentum, I don't think Florida loses this game. But if they don't and they let Vandy kind of hang in there, Vandy's got – they got some dudes, man. They got enough athletes – to win this game. So I don't know. This one's a tricky one.
What would the formula be for you, Shane? Would it be to pound the rock, give it to ETN and Johnson over and over and over, something that they've not done in their losses? Mm-hmm. Or do you look at the schedule, and I mean, there's some monster games coming up for Florida. Do you say, all right, Mertz has been very good, yeah. I think. But is this where you say, all right, maybe we need to get Mertz going, because the rest of these teams, they're all going to sell out against the run. We need to get him going, let him win us a game. I don't know. Which way would you go with that?
You know, you always hear that old saying, you know, establish a run to open up the passing game. And you know, this day and age, you can also flip that coin. And I think that's what Florida needs. They need, similar like Tennessee, if Tennessee ain't passing, they're not running. You know, if they can't stretch the field, they can't get these guys loosened up off of them a little bit, those lanes aren't as open anymore. So I think that's the key, is getting Mertz going, finding some other damn weapons out there besides Ricky, which he's a fantastic athlete, but they need some other help coming up. And if they can do that, stretch this field like they did against Tennessee, then again, those running lanes are going to open up, and those guys are going to have a field day. But moving forward, I think that's the recipe for the Florida Gators.
And do you think this is a game where Vanderbilt and Clark Lee can kind of like, they can really, really sell this program? They go down to the swamp and win, and can sell back-to-back wins against the Florida Gators. I mean, I think there's a lot, you know, they're huge underdogs, so I'm not saying if they lose it, let's fire Clark Lee. But, I mean, this would be the biggest win, even though he's already gotten a couple SEC wins. This would be the biggest win he's gotten, don't you think?
This would be monumental. And, you know, I think they need it. You know, they're not going to fire Coach Lee if he loses every game the rest of this year. He is the future of that program. But this roster's old, you know. This roster should not have made some of the stupid mistakes they have made out of the gate. There's some very winnable games that they lost this year. This is not what, quote-unquote, a winnable game. But you erase some of those early season mistakes if you come out here and pull off a victory. So for us to kind of get back on track and get back on the Coach Lee bandwagon, it is going to be the slowest build of the conference, but it's still a build that can happen. Mm-hmm. But what I love about it is, even in these losses, Vanderbilt losses, they're not like 10 year ago, Vandy, you know, when they're 20-point, 40-point games, you know. It's like they're not getting blown out. You know, they're still scrappy. They're still going to fight. So I think that's the recipe here. Just be patient if you're a Vanderbilt fan. I mean, they have to be. They ain't even got a damn stadium. You know what I'm saying? No, they are the capital of patience. But, you know, this season did not go as planned. But, again, closing out this year, still a couple of games that they can sneak up and win. So just stay dialed in.
How important is a fast start for Florida? Because I'm worried that if they drag ass and keep Vanderbilt in it.
If Vanderbilt gets up,
I mean, fans are going to be booing.
You know what I'm saying?
It's going to be ugly.
Because at this moment, what does Vanderbilt have to lose? I would see what worked with Kentucky. They're going to try to slow you down. They're going to stop the run. But Vanderbilt, I mean, they have playmakers on that field to put up 7, 14 points. They're aggressive in their passing attack. So that's the recipe if you want to talk about beating Florida, is getting ahead. You know, if you can get two or three scores ahead, Florida has shown that they've not really had the ability to kind of crawl back into these games.
Yeah.
They just want to have the lead, keep running the clock, and get off there and get a victory. So
final one, Shane, Western Michigan at Mississippi State. State needs a win bad. 22-point favorites, huge favorites. I mean, this should be no problem. But, I mean, they need to get that confidence going. They need to figure some things out quick with Will Rogers and Mike Wright. Get them involved. What would you be looking for from Zach Arnett and company in this game?
Identity. That's it. Like we thought we had Mississippi State figured out going into the South Carolina game. In the last 2 weeks, it's just been like, head scratchers. Like what is this? You know, are we going all in here, or And then you feel like that quiet reserve, like, that's not working. Let's just scrap that. You know, maybe get some other players in there. I'm not saying Will Rogers isn't the guy, but maybe we should, you know, explore it. If you've got a sizable lead, getting somebody in there, working in maybe Mike Wright or something like that. But we need some sort of light at the end of the tunnel here. And this is a good game. If it's close or if it's a loss, that damn place is burning down, Mike.
Yeah, we got to get this defense, too, on the same page.
That's a good one.
You know, I thought they were going to lead the way. Because I anticipated it'd be slow on offense with the changes and everything. But the defense, I think, has been really, really underperforming. And it doesn't look like Mississippi State to me. They don't have the athlete. They got two good linebackers.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's it. Why do we got to end on a depressing note like this? You know, Mississippi State frustrates me because I can feel it for the fans.
Yeah.
I've been there, man. You know, there was a moment when we had Derek Dooley that I was like, you know, there's no easy fix. That was before NIL. That was before the transfer portal. You know,
you were ready to turn your fan card.
I wasn't ready to give up on it. I watched every game.
Yeah,
but I'll never forget, and I've said it many times on the show, when Arkansas had that punt return. Joe Adams down like 14 people, including Dooley, couldn't tackle him. And I'm watching that, and I'm like, we are so slow and so far behind the other programs in the SEC. I don't think Mississippi State's there yet, but they can be. You know what I'm saying? If something's not fixed immediately, you know, it's going to be tougher and tougher to get players to commit to that program. They need some wins, man. They need some light brought back into that program. So I feel for you. I really do. I mean, 1998, Tennessee Vols, that was a long time ago, but you remember who they played in the SEC championship, right?
Yep, Mississippi State.
So that was their big year. And, you know, they want to get back to 98 as well. So does Arnett the guy? I don't know. I'm really – do you have him on the hot seat? Does he – if – do you have their schedule? Can you pull up their schedule real quick? Because I'd like to just pull this up. And in your opinion, playing out the schedule in your mind, is he the head coach for Mississippi State next year?
So here, obviously, Western Michigan,
right,
at Arkansas, at Auburn, Kentucky at home, at A&M, Southern Miss at home, and Ole Miss at home. There's only two guarantees. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're going to lose the rest, but, you know, at home, can you beat Kentucky? Kentucky's balling right now. Right. Can you beat Ole Miss? They look like they've solved a lot of stuff. I mean, this is a tough, tough slate here, Shane, and do I have him on the hot seat? No, but it remains to be seen whether he's a head coach in the SEC.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Right.
And I've said it a couple times before, Shane, I'm never a fan in the SEC of hiring a guy that's never been a head coach.
Yeah.
Because there's a learning curve.
Right.
And people didn't want to think there was a learning curve. And I get this is unique circumstances. So I never blasted the Arnett hire because I think that's unfair to Mississippi State with everything going on.
Yeah.
But it's fair to question whether this job is too big for him. And I think so far it looks like it is. But there have been many. I mean, hell, people always do this. It's stupid when they compare Saban's first year. But hell, he won 7 games.
Yeah.
He's the greatest coach of all time. Kirby Smart struggled. Well, I think he won 7 games too. So there are many coaches that struggle right out the gate and get it turned around. But how patient are we going to be? Because you got to remember, Shane, I don't think people realize this. I think Georgia has the longest bowl streak in the SEC. Mississippi State, I believe, has got the second.
Yeah.
So they've been to a bowl game. I mean, that's
the expectations are high there.
That's the bare minimum standard down there. And for 40 years, a bowl game was that was a hell of a year there.
Think they take Dan Mullins back? You know what it reminds me of? Because you talked about coaches. It reminds me of Luke when he took over Ole Miss.
Right,
you know, and it's like, but they had some dudes. They had some playmakers out there, you know, so they were able to kind of hang in there a little bit. But again, there came that moment like, this ain't our future, you know. Right. So I don't know. Again, I tried not to be depressing, but here I am. I have a mayonnaise bet that's coming up. So let me get my South Carolina cup here. So I got that coming up, and maybe that's hanging over me, but that will be on tomorrow's show. So if you guys are bored and you want to see what mayonnaise on Big Shane looks like, well, you're about to get it. Because I didn't realize you bought so much. You know? I was like, oh, we're going to bathe in this thing, huh? So we'll have that tomorrow. So be sure to tune in. We got a lot of cool, great action, man. I mean, just talking about these ball games, we can't dub it separation. Maybe you guys got a better answer for this one, but it's got to be some sort of division that's coming up after this Saturday. So I'm looking forward to these games, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, I appreciate you, buddy, for showing up. I appreciate all the cousins out there. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.